I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, just so you know that it is the devil, just back up a little bit and let's go to verse 7, Revelation chapter 12, and from verse 7, maybe if we start reading from there, you will understand more clearly that the accuser is actually the devil. Now, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Okay, the dragon and his angels fought, okay, and prevailed not. I tell you, any dragon that is fighting against you will lose in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Says the dragon and his angels, they fought. They fought. They fought. But they prevailed not. The fact that you have a fight doesn't mean you will lose. Hallelujah. You may have a fight. You may have a battle on your hand right now. But I want you to know that your victory is guaranteed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. That means it is not uncommon that people who are born of God will have battles. You know, you can only speak of overcoming if there's something to come over, you see.
Okay. So,
someone who has an obstacle before them, who has a difficult challenge, who has an uphill task, an uphill battle, who has something before them that needs to be conquered. And the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. You will overcome. The key Amen. Thing is to be born of God.
Amen.
You get it? Now, the problem is there are sometimes you find people who are not born of God trying to overcome, you see. And that's where there's a problem. So if you want to be an overcomer, step number one, you must be born of God. That means you must be born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
At the end of this service, I will give you an opportunity to be born of God, and that is to be born again so you can join God's army of overcomers. Shout amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. You know, can you unmute more people so I can feel more people?
Right? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Just promise me something. You're going to be in a quiet place. You're not going to be moving around like cooking and stuff like that. You know, just so you don't disturb the service. Okay? Right? Okay. So I want to be able to interact with you. I can see you. I can see all your faces. It's wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So back to my message. Back to my message. Father, we thank you for utterance in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thank you for a good message. Thank you for opening our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Revelation chapter 7. It says, and there was war in heaven. Oh, and by the way, you shouldn't be surprised again if you have a war in your life, because as you can see, even in heaven, there was a war.
Okay.
So if you have a war in your life, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, or out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And see that in verse 9, or according to verse 9, the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan are the same person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the subject matter of this part of the chapter is the devil, or Satan, or the old great dragon, or the old serpent. It's all referring to the same person, right? Now, in verse 10, it says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, okay? It says, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So see, in verse 9, who was cast down? It was the devil, right? Mm-hmm. The devil, Satan, that old serpent, the great dragon, he was cast down, according to verse 9. Then in verse 10, we're introduced to another title of the person who has been cast down. And the Bible says his name is the accuser of the brethren that is cast down. You see, the accuser of the brethren. He is the one that has been cast down. And because of that, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser is cast down. The accuser is cast down. So in the day that we get rid of accusations, right? In the day that we get rid of the accuser, right? Then we are going to experience all these blessings. The blessing of salvation, right? The blessing of salvation, the blessing of strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, they are all released when the accuser is no more. When we get rid of the accuser, all these things are possible. You take a church, for example. As long as you have accusers in the church, salvation is limited. As long as you have accusers in the church, strength is limited. As long as accusers are operational in the church, writing things about us, talking about us, gossiping about us, and saying evil things about us, spoiling our reputation, giving us a bad name, attacking our credibility, you will find that the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ is affected, or the manifestation of that is affected, you know. Just like they did to Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says they paid some people to go around and say that the disciples had come to steal his body. Do you see? That way, they would attack the credibility of the message on resurrection. You know. So when you have people who accuse you, people who say negative things, and people who constantly rehearse negative messages in our ears, we don't do well. Even individually, if you're an individual who is constantly being accused, who is constantly being accused and being attacked by accusers, you find you don't do well. Sometimes your courage is gone. You're not even confident anymore in yourself because, you know, you are branded as a certain type of person. And any effort you make, even trying to step out of that box, you are pushed back into that box through the accusations of the people around you. Hallelujah. And so that is why we are sharing about the accuser, in order to learn how not to become one of those who would be used by the enemy to accuse people. Now, I mentioned to you that there are certain people who are more prone, that means they carry within them a greater tendency to be used in this way, you know. And you can work for the devil and not even know that you're working for the devil. You can work for Satan. You can really help Satan when you think you're actually helping God, you see. And that's what Apostle Paul used to do. He used to attack the church thinking that he was helping God, only to find out one day when Jesus met him in the middle of the road on one of his journeys and introduced himself to him and told him, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. You think you're persecuting the church. You think you're speaking against the church. You think you're cleansing the house of God and cleansing the church. But you are actually persecuting me. Me, whatever you're doing is directly against me. And I dare say that there are many believers, especially older, mature, long-standing Christians, you know, who will be surprised to find out one day that they did a lot of harm to the church of God. They discouraged a lot of younger people, younger Christians, newer Christians, you know, people who were just finding their feet in the faith were disturbed and their faith was distorted because of the activities of such people. And so if you're one of those people and you're listening to me tonight, I want you to take this message as a warning to you by the Lord that you need to be careful, because in an attempt to clean out his church, which he has not asked you to do, by the way, he will end up destroying some of the people that are destroying even the work that the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. So amen. That's a blessing. And tonight, I want us to continue. Well, like I said, the list of potential accusers, number one is evil people, that a lot of accusers are actually guilty of the very things they are accusing you of, right? It is because such things are in them that they are able to recognize or suspect their existence in other people, you know? And so they think that what they would have done is what you are doing, you know? And they start to accuse you of it already, sometimes even out of jealousy, because they wish they were in your situation to have that same privilege, and they would use it in the way they are accusing you of using it, you know, because that's what they would have done. I think I told you last week about my friend who was telling me how he was, you know, envious and jealous of me because I'm a pastor and I have access to many women. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you are really blessed.
Like, mercy.
You have access to all these fine girls. You know, what a blessing! Yeah. But when you have a perverted mind, that's how you think. You see, every pure thing looks evil to you, and you can read evil even into purity. But the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. You see, to the pure, all things are pure. And so it is often a revelation. You see, your tendency to accuse all the time and to find evil in places where evil is not ordinarily visible. You see, your tendency to do that, you see, is a revelation of the condition of your heart and mind, you see, because such people usually do not have the gift of the word of knowledge. So that's not what it is. But what it is a revelation of what is in their heart. And you find lots of people who like to accuse pastors, you know, about money, churches, and money, and so on and so forth. It is often a revelation of what they would do if they were in that situation and if God gave them the privilege of handling the sorts of things that pastors or many pastors handle, okay? So evil people, you need to watch out for such people. Number two, is bitter and unforgiving people. Bitter and unforgiving people. Now, we need to be very careful of bitterness. We need to be very, very careful. We read a verse last week from Hebrews chapter 12 where the Bible said we should be careful, you see, lest a root of bitterness springing up among you should trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You have to be very careful with bitterness. If you're hurt and you have issues, you need to let them go. And thank God he gave us a way to let things go. And that way is forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we need to practice on a daily basis. Daily basis. In fact, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, where he taught us the Lord's Prayer, you would see that forgiveness is closely following the giving or the requesting of daily bread. Mm-hmm. Right? It says, and give us our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, give us our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. So it looks like in every day that you are entitled to or that you look out for daily bread, it's a sequence of three things that must happen together. One of them is the request for your daily bread. The next one is your the daily bread. Then the next one is praying for your own forgiveness. And then the next one is your preparedness to let go of other people's issues as they pertain to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah. Amen.
Yes.
All three must happen in each day. So in each day that you eat your daily bread, you must also be asking whether you have prayed for your own forgiveness. And the next thing you must be checking is whether you have forgiven those who have trespassed against you. Now, it is interesting how the Bible connects your own forgiveness to the forgiveness that you are willing to hand out or to let others experience from you. God is in effect saying that you yourself are as offensive as people are to you. Mm-hmm. You are as offensive to others as people are to you, you know. So it's not like you are so good and everybody is so bad. And in fact, your confessions are supposed to come first before even we talk about those who trespass against you, right? And your forgiveness of those who trespass against you will determine your own forgiveness. Jesus told us clearly that if we do not forgive other people their trespasses, that means their mistakes, that trespass, you step where you shouldn't step. That's what it means to trespass. So when people in relation to you step where they shouldn't step, or step where it hurts, or step where it's offensive, then we are supposed to be able to forgive them on a daily basis, you know, in synchrony with our own forgiveness, that is the forgiveness we receive from God, and then our daily bread as well. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Your daily bread, right?
I do.
Your daily forgiveness and then daily forgiving.
Yes.
Your daily bread, your daily forgiveness, and then your daily forgiving. All three must happen every single day of your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you do not forgive, then what will end up happening is that over time, you become bitter. So bitterness is actually, if you like, caked for unforgiveness. Do you see? If you have a series of things you should forgive that you do not let go, then over time, it crystallizes into bitterness. And the Bible says, when bitterness comes up, it causes a problem. It says, by that many will be defiled, you know. And so we need to watch out for bitterness in your own self. And then you also need to watch out for bitter people around you, you know, because bitter, when people are bitter for a long time, you know, and they lack expression, when they lack a way to let things out and to talk about things, or they talk and they are not heard, they are shut down. Do you see? Over time, it becomes a big problem, and one day it will erupt. It's like a bottle of Coke, you know, and you have a bottle of Coke that you keep stirring up by shaking, and you keep shaking, but then the Coke is not allowed to express itself because of the cap, you see. And much as the Coke would like to express itself, it is limited, it's been capped down, and is held down, and it can't express itself. Now, one day, eventually, when the cup comes off, it's going to spill, it's going to erupt, and it's going to go everywhere, including places where you don't want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some extent, that's what we are experiencing in this country right now, that people have had feelings, people, things have gone on, you know, for a long time, and it has not been addressed appropriately. And it continues and continues and continues, and people have not found a way to express themselves, you know. And then one day, suddenly, the cup comes off, which is what happened last week. The cup just came off, you know. And yeah. Now the Coke is gone everywhere, and it's going to places where we don't want it to go, do you see? And much as we don't want it to go there, you can't keep it from going there easily, because it's been around for a long time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You see that after the eruption, then there's a very wild cleanup job to be done. And I think that's where we are right now. We have a lot of cleaning up to do in our country, and we pray that God will help us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Amen.
Be careful of bitterness. Be careful of bitterness and combination of feelings and emotions that surround it. Anger, you know, the feelings of revenge and wanting to get even and so on. These are all things that we need to be very careful with. And people who have such things often end up becoming accusers. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the next one I want to talk briefly about today is number 3. Oh, actually, I wanted to read this verse first. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. You see David and his men. The Bible says, moreover, David, I'm reading the New American Standard Version, okay, says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered. Can you see? All the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. So
Amen.
David had a bunch of men who were working with him. They were fighting wars together and so on. Now they had gone on one of such fights, and then one, another one of the enemies, they came behind their backs and attacked their camp and took away their wives and their children and their, you know, sons and daughters. And so when David and his men returned from where they had been fighting, they came to their camp to realize that the other people had been there and they had ransacked the place, you know. And the men who were with David were greatly distressed because of what had happened. And then suddenly, because of their bitterness and anger, they thought about stoning David. Can you imagine? They thought about stoning their leader. They thought about stoning the same person they had been fighting with. They had been on the same side with him, you know, for all this time. And suddenly, when they had experienced a loss, which affected David himself, because when you read the account in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you will see that David also had his wives had been captured, right? His wives and I think some of his children had also been captured. So it wasn't something affecting only these guys, but suddenly they turned against their leader, you know, and then they started to accuse him. And that happens a lot. Sometimes when things don't go well, even in the church, and you find people who just turn against the leader and just blame the leader. Yes, that we, even though we're in this together, you know, suddenly people turn against. It's almost like we're on opposite sides. It's like you are the one who has caused us to come into this situation. And so we break sides with you and rather join the enemy against you. And we go to the other side and we fight against you. But that should not happen. Bitterness is what makes that happen in a church. And may that not be found among us in Jesus' name. Say amen.
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 Now, insecure and jealous people is the next one. Insecure and jealous people. People who are not secure in their positions tend to attack anything that comes around them. Okay? People who are not secure. Now, from time to time, you run into people who somehow don't feel secure or do not feel settled in themselves, right? And such people often are very prone to becoming accusers. Remember, we're talking about people who have a tilt towards accusation, people who are more likely to become accusers, right? And one of them is insecure people, people who don't feel confident in themselves, confident in their position, confident in who they are, confident in what God has given them, tend to become accusers, right? And a good example is a female dog that has babies, right? They tend to feel insecure because everyone who passes is a potential enemy. They feel vulnerable. They feel like someone is coming to attack what is most precious to them at that time, which would be the new babies they have. Yeah. And so if you've had a dog that's littered like that before, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Dogs are really dangerous to go around. And it doesn't even matter that sometimes they would themselves turn around and go eat some of those babies themselves. Mm-hmm. They just don't want you to touch them. You see, that's how insecure people behave. You get it? Insecure people react and they start to feel that somebody is after something they have or something that has been given to them. And then they start to react and they become vicious unnecessarily. Okay? And this kind of insecurity is very common, especially with married couples, you know, and you find many married people as individuals are very insecure, you know, and when you're married to someone who is not secure, it is a very difficult situation to be in. It's a very, and you should pray about it. You should be sure to be at the flow prayer meeting and pray about it because... Your flow prayer meeting is tomorrow, all right? Sure, to join the flow prayer meeting to pray about it because it is a very, very difficult situation to be in, to be married to someone who does not feel secure, you know? And definitely, if you're not married, you know, and you have a beloved and you're beginning to see signs of insecurity, Read those signs as run for your life.
Run for your life.
Pretend you're reading Run for Your Life in a different language. That's what it means. You get it? Yes. You have a person who is not secure.
So true.
You know, and it has so many manifestations. The manifestation, sometimes unnecessary questionings. You get it? Detailed questionings. Who is this? Where did you go? Where were you? all these type of questions that start coming up, you know, between you and someone who doesn't own you. Do you see what I'm saying? Someone you just happen to like and who happens to like you. And already they're treating you like a prisoner. You get it? Those are very negative signs. And you shouldn't, I wouldn't recommend to you that you get married to such a person or, you know, tied a knot with someone like that, because you would be signing up for a prison sentence, I tell you. And it would be a very difficult life for you, do you see? Now, it is important for us to understand that, you know, marriage is just one of the areas of an individual's life. You see, everybody is going to need more people in your life than someone who is a marital partner. You know, everybody needs more people. For you to experience the fullness of life, the fullness of what God has ordained you to both be you, you're going to need or find out that it involves so many other people. So when you have a spouse who has a problem in this particular area and, you know, limits your interaction with many people whom you would need, do you see? You need so many people even to fulfill your ministry. You know, a good example, allow me to share, you know, are you still with me?
Yes.
We are here.
We are here.
We can have a good service. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You all remember the man called Uzziah, the young boy who became a king in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And let's read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and from verse 11. It says, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and from verse 11. It says, moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. Can you see that?
Yes.
This is a young person who became king and who became a great king. And the Bible is showing us how his greatness came about. How his greatness came about. And you will find out that everybody's greatness involves a host of other people. There are so many other people who contribute in different ways, which make up pieces of what ends up becoming your greatness, right? So it says that Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Okay, then verse 12, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. So can you see how many people are helping him? 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500.
Wow. Right?
Yes. So 300,000 and 7,500. When you put that together, what do you get? 307,500.
Yep.
Right? Yes. You see, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Do you see? So against the enemies of your life and against the battles that will come up in your life, you will need a whole lot of other people than a husband or a wife, you know, to help you fight that battle. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. So there's nothing like, because I have a beloved, I'm set. You see, or that because I have a husband or because I have a wife or because I married you or because you married me, we are just set. That's all we'll need. No, to be and to fulfill our God-given calling, to fight our battles towards greatness, we're going to need a whole lot of people. Do you see? So you look at it, it says, all these people made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. You see, no one becomes great just by themselves. And no one will fulfill their ministry, no one will fulfill their calling just by themselves, all alone. Everybody is going to need other people in their lives, you see. And it says in verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And then in verse 15, it says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, not himself. He made engines, but you see, somebody did it for him. You see, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. Do you see? And the reason why many people are not strong, the reason why many people do not excel, is because they are missing their marvelous help.
Mm-hmm.
And they are missing their marvelous help because they are attached to someone who is so insecure that he repels every kind of help, or she repels every kind of help that is coming towards this person. Do you get it? Yes. Mm-hmm. They are full of fear. They are full of insecurity, because fearful people are the next group. They are the other group. You might as well just write that down now. They are the next group. People who are always mm-hmm. afraid of something. They only think about a possible negative outcome of everything. How can you live your life like that? How can you live your life always afraid? Do you see? And you find people very insecure, and they feel very, very uneasy about everything and about everyone. You see? And so such people become accusers. Before you know it, they are accusing you of, you know, being in love with a particular person, you know, and being in love with the next person. You know, Bishop has a story here. Let me just read. It's a very interesting story of a pastor. It says one pastor was transferred and for the first time had the job of leading the church and relating with all sorts of people. Can you see that? Then it says one day his wife freaked out and accused him of being in love with a worship leader. Do you see? This pastor was so shocked at the accusation that he almost had a fit. But his wife would not relent. Unexpectedly, she asked him, tell me, are you in love with her? She continued, come on, do you love her? I need an answer now. You see? And her husband was bewildered, but she continued with her confrontation. She said, you should see the way you look at her. You know, how do you even know what is on my mind when I'm looking at someone? Do you see? I says, you should see the way you look at her. She hammered on. You should hear your voice on the phone when you're talking to her. You see, one day she said to him, I know you're having an affair with a married woman and you know what I'm talking about. She was convinced that he was in love with her. Sadly, this outburst marked a major downturn in this minister's marriage. All the negative effects of accusation played out in the marriage, which had hitherto been peaceful. This is how insecurity becomes a problem for marital couples. In the ministry, honorable men are sometimes accused in private by their insecure wives. I do not blame you if you do not understand these examples. I hope you do understand them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
What I'm sharing with you.
Yeah. We are
accused. You get it? Mm. Now, is it true that sometimes people have had affairs with people and so on? The answer is true. But that's similar to asking yourself, is this true that sometimes when people are on their way to work, driving in their cars, they're involved in accidents? Is that true or not? It's true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop you from driving to work in your car every morning. True or false?
True.
You are preaching.
It's true.
And usually the day after your accident, you get another rental car and put it on the same road and keep trusting and get to that same place.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that true or false?
True.
We
cannot live our lives by the unlikely probability of a very small thing that may have happened before or that is known to sometimes occur and that can possibly happen. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you are that concerned and that you have such a strong burden for such a thing, you know, now we know what to do with burdens. You know, the burden of Duma, right? What of the night? If you have a burden of, look, my dear friend, up at night and pray. You get it? Watchman, what of the night? That's what people with burdens ought to be doing. You need to turn your burdens into prayer. There is nothing like the prayers of someone who has a burden for what they are praying for. Get it? Yes. You remember the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when people have a burden for something, they pray effectually and pray fervently. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And so those prayers are answered. So if you really have that kind of a burden and your burden is so heavy, so strong, then I highly recommend to you that you turn yourself into a watchman, you see. Instead of being a watchman of phones and a watchman of text messages and a watchman of who are you talking to and a watchman of who dropped you off and a watchman of who are you talking to at church and a watchman of why did you lay hands on her for a long time and praying for a long time. I've heard about pastors' wives who actually queried their husbands at home about how long they prayed for a particular person. Do you see? Yeah. How long did you pray for this one? I mean, this one, when you touched her, you know, it was short. But the other one, you kept praying. You kept telling the ashes, bring that one to me. Bring that one to me. What? From there, do you see? And you're having all kinds of problems. You know, and it happens with the opposite also. Sometimes it's the husbands who are worried about such things. It's the husbands who are unduly insecure. And that's why I'm saying that if you're not married to one of such people yet, please do yourself a favor. Don't get into that kind of a relationship. Because it will stifle you. It will drive out all the important people in your life, all the important helpers, people that God has sent to help to make you strong, sent to help you for your gifts to come out and to shine, people that God has sent into your life to encourage you and to help you and to show you things and to give you opportunities and to give you chances so you become who you will become. Remember, Uzziah was only 16 years old when he became a king. He was going to need a whole lot of help, do you see? Because when you become a king at 16, it's not easy. I mean, people are 72 years old and they are not even seeing top. You see, I know some presidents in their 70s who you see. So, you who is only 16 years old, I don't know what you're going to do unless you open yourself up to help. And many times when God calls people, he surrounds those people with many other people who will become helpers, who will become helpers, who will become helpers. Let me read with you one of my favorite verses, Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. The book of Luke chapter 16. And verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. If you have two devices on, please try to mute the other one or turn the volume down or something so we don't have any noise. Amen. All right. Now, can you see this verse? This is one of my favorite verses. It says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, okay, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, this verse, as you look at it, is a very simple verse, but it is telling us that God expects us to be faithful in that which is somebody's. Do you get it? Which means that no matter what, you are supposed to meddle in somebody else's business. Can you see that? He says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, you see, in other words, you are supposed to handle some business that belongs to another man. You're supposed to help in the progress and development and advancement of another person. Do you see? Then, as you continue the verse, you see that actually that one determines, you know, the sort of help that you attract also for yourself. So it says, who shall give you that which is your own? Which means the giving to you of that which is your own actually depends on you being faithful with that which is another person's. So you have to be doing something for someone in order for someone else to be doing something for you. That means no one gets to have what they are supposed to have without some external influence, some external help, some external factor, some external person around them coming into their lives to help them become who they are supposed to become. Are you understanding that verse right there?
Yeah.
So no one will fulfill their ministry. No one is complete without that kind of help. Amen. And Amen. That kind of help may not necessarily be found in the person you are living with. Mm-hmm. That's just true. It may be in somebody else. So a husband is a husband and a wife is a wife. But then a help is a help. Do you get it? And sometimes God will use that husband, God will use that wife to bless you and to help you. Other times he will also use other people. Do you see? But insecurity will drive away all that other help from you and leave you stuck with only a husband or a wife or a beloved.
Mercy.
And you, out of them, you will have as much of a marriage as you can possibly have. But you will realize that there is more to life than having just a marriage. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Very true.
Even the lockdown season taught a lot of people that they needed more than just a marriage. Because many people were just stuck at home just to have full-time marriage. Then they realized, no, I need to go out. My job. One of the reasons you have so many protesters out there protesting other things.
They're tired.
Not all about Floyd.
You get out. They're tired of people.
But it's also just relief from being. Hallelujah.
Amen. Man, Apostle.
God tonight.
Yes.
So watch out for insecure people. Insecure people will tend to be accusers.
Yeah.
They will tend to accuse you. Some people are just jealous. They just don't like seeing you being happy with other people. Yeah. Some people just come find the other person on the phone just laughing and laughing. And who are you talking to? You know, it's not because you are talking on the phone, but it's because you are laughing. You see, because when you're on the phone to the cable company, they don't come around asking who are you talking to. Because usually there's no laughter on that phone call.
Amen.
Are you understanding the word of God?
Amen.
The Pharisees were insecure because Jesus had a huge following. Yes. And sometimes even our church comes under unnecessary attack from, you know, other people in other churches, sometimes even other ministers and other people, just because of what the Lord has done. Do you understand? And it's a pity. You would have thought that, you know, they would cheer us on, they would support us, they would be happy for us, you know, because if someone is doing something that you're struggling to do or that's been relatively difficult to do, you know, the thing to do, since we all are supposed to have a common goal, do you see? We're supposed to rather be happy for the other person, you know, and be able to push them forward and not just be jealous, you see. But sometimes people are jealous that why is it happening to you and not me? Why is it happening to them and not us? In fact, just this afternoon, I saw a clip, or one of the brothers sent me a clip of people who are dancing now that churches have resumed, and the different dances that are being danced in different churches. And they have a dance for the Catholic Church, and they have a dance for the Pentecostal Church, and they have a dance for the Methodist Church, and then they have a dance for Lighthouse. And the Lighthouse person is dancing, so she's wearing some really tight clothes and dancing some type of licentious dance. And I was just thinking, who makes such a video and passes it around? You see, it's all a form of accusation, because there's a message in it. You know, they're telling us something. They're telling us something about dances in our church. Do you see? Exactly. That's what they're doing. And sometimes when it comes to dances, I just wonder, because God is the one who made the body. And God is the one who allowed the body to break in places where he allows it to break, to allow certain movements and allow certain things. Do you see? So if we are to use our body to glorify the Lord, the Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body, your spirit, in your body, which are God's. Hallelujah. Amen. If that we are to do that, then dancing is going to be one of them. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, dancing. And God is the one who gave us the ability to move, even to respond to a beat, you know, to dance to a beat. Think about it. It's something dogs cannot easily do, you know. Yeah, if you have a pet, try to play some music and get it to dance to see if they can do that. And you see, they can't do that. It's a unique thing that human beings do. And God put that in us so that we can glorify him in our bodies, you know. So I'm saying that people accuse us as a church. And you need to watch out for those accusations. There are some of us who believe anything we hear or read on Facebook. We just believe them. Somehow, if it's in the media, we assume it's authentic. If it's in the media, we assume it must be right. It must be true. You know, if it's on TV, if it's on Facebook, if it's on WhatsApp, we just assume it's true, you know. But I know people who make things up on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even people who experimented, they'll make up a story and then shoot it out to see how long it takes to come back to them. Mm-hmm. And they find eventually that their story makes its rounds, you know, and eventually a concerned person sends it to them for their information, not knowing that they are the source of it. And they are the original creators of whatever it is, you see. So we must not believe things just because, you know, we hear them or we receive them by text or we see them in social media, on Instagram, on Twitter. These are all gossip tools that are used for accusation by the enemy just to propagate his ends and to make sure that the church is loses credibility and our reputation is destroyed. But he's a liar. Remember, even the war in heaven was won. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And
God's power will prevail. Hallelujah. So don't join the enemy, because he will lose in the end. He will lose in the end. Amen. Don't join anybody to accuse the people of God because of envy or because of something that God is doing with us that he may not yet be doing with them. Do you see? Sometimes it's not that God won't do it with you. It's just not your time yet, you see. But because you don't want to see, the Bible says you are not faithful in that which is another man's. And so that cuts away that which is yours. So you forfeit your own experience of the same things by your attitude towards others who are experiencing that same thing. Because you're not happy for someone else's success, you forfeit your own success because you've not been faithful in that which is another man's. So that which is yours will not come to you either. You will also not experience success because when others experience success, you didn't celebrate it with them. You were not happy with them. You rather made up stories and, you know, fabrications and so many things that end up destroying and end up shaking the faith of faithful members, young members, new Christians, and so many other people who would otherwise belong to them. That ministry or belong in that environment. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Right. Okay. So fearful people, a good example of an accusatory person is the servant who was given one talent, right? He accused his master of being hard and of reaping what he did not sow. However, the root of these accusations was revealed when he said, "I was afraid." You see, I was afraid. Look at this guy who was telling his master, "You are a hard man. You reap where you have not sown. You gather where you have not strawed." Not knowing the underlying factor in his posture was actually the fact that he was afraid. He was afraid. And sometimes before you accuse people and before you say things, you should take an honest look at yourself and analyze and assess your motives. Why are you saying what you're saying? And you just might find that it's because you are afraid. It is because you have some kind of fear. You are afraid someone might take your place. You are afraid someone might be more popular than you. You are afraid someone might be more known than you. You are afraid someone might do better than you. All these fears are in people. And these fears motivate people to act. They make people act. Even racism, which has become a big subject in these last few days. One of the motivators of fear, racism is fear. Some people are afraid. You're just afraid that you just might do as well as I'm doing, or you might do better than I'm doing, or something like that. And it starts to break out and it starts to manifest itself in that way. Hallelujah. But
Amen.
You remember, God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you have the spirit of fear, if you have any fear in you, you should know that you did not get it from God. You should recognize its source and discard it. Get rid of it, because your fear is just a piece of the enemy you are carrying with you. And at the appropriate time, it will explode. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Devil puts fear in you. It is like someone put a bomb in your car and kept the remote control. So you drive around with it. But he's the one, that's the one with the remote control, is going to determine the time and place of the explosion. And you will find yourself exploding. You will find your fear betraying you at a place and time you didn't expect. Your fear will give you away one day. So you must not walk in fear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Such people are fearful of many possible evils. They are constantly expecting the worst thing to happen. Such people tend to accuse those around them of something very bad. They may accuse their best and most honest workers of stealing, you know. And one of the things that destroys relationships is when you accuse someone of stealing when they haven't stolen. That's the end. That is the end. It changes your relationship forever. It just changes your relationship forever because it reveals the kind of thoughts you have about the person. And when that trust is broken, usually it is very hard to repair. It's better to err on the side of being stolen from. Do you see? It is better to err on the opposite side than to err on this side, to accuse someone of stealing when the person has not stolen from you will change your relationship with that person forever. It will just destroy it. Hallelujah. And you should believe it. Tonight we're talking a lot about relationships, but that's the relevance of this message I'm sharing with you tonight, which is that many relationships can be destroyed and are destroyed. It's not that you picked the bad one, but you picked a good one and destroyed it. Those two are not the same. Many people who destroy a good relationship think it's because they chose a bad person. But that's not what happened. You chose a good one and you destroyed it. Yes. It is true that someone can buy a vehicle. He can buy an accident car. That means it was spoilt right from the beginning. Do you see? But it is also true that most accident cars didn't start as an accident car. They were good cars that were wrecked by someone. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? So yeah. Many people start with a good relationship, but these evil spirits, you know, because when you are an accuser, you are basically representing Satan. It's the path of Satan that's carrying along with you. And that piece will explode at the appropriate time for the enemy. And he will ruin and destroy everything that you have. So I want to encourage you tonight, do not allow insecurity and fear to ruin the good things that God has for you. The good people that God has placed in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We are blessed.
If you have the book, you will notice there are many, many more points, but I think this is how much time. We'll bring to a close, but it's a good opportunity to pray, right? Let's take 2 minutes to pray for ourselves. Maybe you're one of those insecure people who is ruining, destroying your relationship. You are spoiling everything. You know, you're turning your good wife into a good prisoner. Or you're turning your good husband into someone he's not. You are driving away help. You are forfeiting your greatness. You are not becoming Uzziah. You are forfeiting your help. God has ordained certain people to be in your life. God has ordained certain people to be in your life. Look, when Jesus was born and he was right there in a manger, God spoke to people to go and visit him. You get it? God appointed, an angel went from place to place inviting specific people, including the shepherds, and showing them where the baby had been born and said, you guys are welcome to come and visit this particular person because that is someone that God has brought into the world and God ordained who should be around that person. And so even the innkeeper was not invited. In his backyard, the baby had been born, but he was not invited to see the baby.
Wow.
Rather, wise men from the east, they got an invitation and were guided all the way to see the baby. So I want you to know that God prepares people for people. God releases people. He sends people to people. And when God is sending people into your life, you have to be careful not to drive them away with insecurity. You have to be careful not to ruin those relationships with insecurity and fear. You shouldn't be so negative-minded that you drive away every good thing from your life. If you do that, you will find yourself praying for help, praying for so many things. And when God sends those things into your life, you will be driving them away. When we share our grace and we ask God to bring the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things we pray for always is a certain number of people, and then we say, which includes all the people who are important for my life. There are many people who are important for your life. And we keep confessing Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, and every other meeting we have, we keep confessing, and all the people who are important for my life. Then God starts to release those people into your life, and you begin to scatter them with insecurity and with fear. Let that not be your story from tonight. Tonight marks the end of insecurity in your life, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lift up your right hand with me and begin to pray and bind that spirit. Just forsake that spirit. Confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize I've been afraid. I realize I have insecurity in me. And Lord, tonight I am forsaking it, giving it up. This is my last day of living with that insecurity. The insecurity is going to be tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Oh yes, Lord Father, the insecurity in us ends tonight, oh God Father. No more insecurity, man. No more, God Father. No more insecure, Lord Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit be with us to guide us, to ask us, to direct us, Lord.
Break loose from the spirit of fear. Break loose from the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, before we close tonight, I want us to take a few minutes to pray for the U.S. Let's pray for this country. And with all that is happening, we need to know that apart from everything, what may have caused what, the truth is that God is not the author of confusion. Evil is parading in the streets. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger. Deep emotions are not, they are easily taken advantage of by the enemy to do many evil things, including killing people. And everywhere you see murder is Satan straight. Because the Bible says his original credential is that he's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's what the Bible says. So every place where you see murder and anything that tends towards that, you know that Satan is around somewhere. So we want to pray for peace. And we want to bind the spirits that have been released to cause confusion and to stir up hatred, and anger and bitterness in the name of Jesus. Let's pray against these things right now. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord God.
Father, you know. We pray against confusion. We pray against the things of God, Father. Fueling emotions in the people, of Father, with wickedness, the tricks of the devil, of Father, the wiles of Father, we pray against them.
Finally,
Oh yes, Lord.
We want to pray for the leaders. You know, when you have such situations, you have to think of a leader as someone standing before a fire that has erupted. Now, the leader has in his hand a cup of fuel or a bucket of water. Now, he can either pour the fuel into it and create an even bigger fire, or he can pour the water on it. And some leaders like to pour the fuel, other leaders pour the water. But we want to pray God will make our leaders water pourers on fire, that somehow God will give them the humility even to say the right things. You know, God will put the right words in their mouths to say the right thing, to cool down the fires and to cool down the anger, to appease people, to calm people down, so that even a way forward can be figured out. Hallelujah. So let's pray for the president. Let's pray for all the other leaders, the commissioners and other people who are involved in these things. Let's pray for all of them, that God will help them. God will, for the sake even of the righteous people, God will cause there to be peace in the name of Jesus. So pray for the leaders
right
now. We ask for your peace.
Amen.
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 Now, finally, as I promised you at the beginning, I want to give you an opportunity to be born of God, born again. Maybe you're in the service tonight, or you're watching us on Facebook tonight, but you know in your heart that Jesus is far away. You know in your heart that you are not saved. You know in your heart that if you died today, you might not go to heaven. You are not so sure that you are saved or that you are put together enough in your heart to be able to make it to heaven. I want you to leave the service tonight with that assurance by joining me to say this simple prayer. So wherever you are, whoever you are, just join me as we say this simple prayer tonight. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Everybody say with me. Everybody join me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
And I know you died for my sins.
And I know you died for my sins.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Let
your blood wash and cleanse me.
Let your blood wash and cleanse me.
Again, let your blood wash and cleanse me.
Let your blood wash me and cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you.